5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. I've been really wanting to do a Buster Bear story for a while now, and I just couldn't find one because I read all the ones I could find. So I had to go searching for one in one of the books about our friends from the Green Meadows and Green Forest. Today, we're going to read the last 8 chapters of the book, The Adventures of Bobby Coon, written by our old friend Thornton W. Burgess. Buster Bear plays a huge role in these chapters, so I was happy when I found them. After reading these chapters, I think I will read the rest of the book in sections and probably combine them all into an audiobook in case you want that. Stay tuned. That should be done by Memorial Day here in the United States. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Some chapters about Buster Bear and Bobby Coon. Peter Rabbit should have been back home in the dear old briar patch long ago. He knew that Mrs. Peter was worrying. She always worries when Peter overstays. But Peter was not giving much thought to Mrs. Peter. In fact, I'm afraid he was not giving any thought to her. You see, he was too full of curiosity about Bobby Coon and what might happen to him. He had been sorry for Bobby in a way, yet it had seemed like a great joke that anyone as sleepy as Bobby was shouldn't be able to sleep. So I am afraid Peter rather enjoyed the excitement. When finally Blackie and his friends grew tired and went about their business, Peter began to think of getting back to the dear old briar patch. I guess Bobby will sleep in peace now, thought Peter. I can't think of anything more that possibly can happen to disturb him. Poor Bobby. He has had a hard time getting that nap. Still, Peter hung around. He didn't know just why, but he had a feeling that he might miss something if he left, and you know Peter never could forgive himself if he missed anything worth seeing. So he hung around for some time after Blackie and his friends had gone about their business. At last, he had just about made up his mind that he would better be starting for home when he was startled by the snapping of a little twig. Peeping out from behind a big tree, Peter stared towards the place from which that sound had come. In a moment, he saw a big black form.
"Buster Bear!" gasped Peter.
"It's the first time I have seen him this spring. My, how thin he is!" Peter looked about to make sure that the way was clear for hasty run if it should be necessary, and then held his breath as Buster drew near. Buster kept stopping to look and listen and sniff the air, and suddenly Peter understood. He heard those noisy crows, and he has come to see what it was all about, thought Peter, which was just exactly the case. Buster knew that it was just about this place that Blackie and his friends had been making such a racket, and his greedy little eyes searched everywhere for some sign of what had been going on. But there was nothing to be seen but a black feather at the foot of a tall old stump. By this, Buster knew for sure that he had found the place where Blackie and his friends had been, but there was nothing to tell him why they should have been there. Buster sat up and blinked thoughtfully. Then as he looked at the old stump, his eyes brightened. "I don't know what all that fuss was about," he muttered, "and I guess I never will know, but I'm glad I came just the same.
That old stump looks to me to be rotten and hollow. I have found ant nests in many an old stump like that, and beetles and grubs. I'll just see what this one contains. Buster walked over to the old stump, hooked his great claws into a crack, and pulled with all his might. Peter Rabbit, watching, held his breath with excitement. There was a sharp cracking sound, and then the whole side of that old stump gave way so suddenly that Buster Bear fell over backwards. As he did so, Bobby Coon rolled out, half awake and frightened almost out of his wits. It was hard to say which was the most surprised of those two cousins, Buster Bear or Bobby Coon. When Buster Bear scrambled to his feet and saw his cousin Bobby Coon scrambling to his feet, Buster straightway lost his temper. It was a foolish thing to do, a very foolish thing to do. There really wasn't the least excuse in the world for it, and yet Buster mustn't be blamed too much. You see, he wasn't really himself. Ordinarily, Buster is one of the best-natured people in all the Green Forest. He doesn't begin to be as short-tempered as ever so many others are. In fact, he isn't short-tempered at all. But just now, Buster Bear was hungry. He was so hungry that he couldn't think of anything but his stomach and how empty it was. You see, so early in the spring, there was very little for him to eat, and he had to hunt and hunt to find that little. When he had started to tear open that tall old stump, he had hoped that inside he would find either a nest of ants or some of the worms and insects that like to bury themselves in rotting wood. So when Bobby Coon came rolling out, Buster was so disappointed that he quite lost his temper before he had time to think. He flew into a rage. You see, he just took it for granted that Bobby Coon had been in that hollow stump for the very same purpose that he had torn it open. Now, it never does to take things for granted. You know, and I know, that Bobby Coon had crawled into that stump only to sleep. Buster didn't know this, and Buster didn't stop to find it out. He growled a terribly deep, ugly-sounding growl that made all of Peter Rabbit's hair stand on end. You know, Peter was close by, hiding behind a big tree to see all that might happen. Then Buster Bear started for his cousin, Bobby Coon, and his little eyes seemed to fairly snap fire. "I'll teach you to steal an honest bear's dinner," he growled in his deep, grumbly-rumbly voice. Now, this wasn't fair to Bobby, for Bobby had stolen no dinner. Even if he had been hunting for food in that hollow stump, he would have done no justice to Buster Bear, but Buster didn't stop to think of this. "You'll pay for it by furnishing me a dinner yourself," growled Buster. "But I'm your cousin," cried Bobby as he started to run. "That doesn't make a difference," snapped Buster. "I'm hungry enough to eat my own brother if I had one." All the time, Buster was scrambling after Bobby Coon, and Bobby was running for his life. Now, big as he is, Buster can move very fast when he is in a hurry, especially when he is thin and lean. Bobby Coon squealed with fright and scrambled up a big tree faster than he ever had scrambled up a tree before in all his life. Buster growled a deep, grumbly, rumbly growl and started up after him. "Oh, oh," cried Bobby Coon, and you may be sure he was very much awake by this time. There was no thought of sleep in Bobby's head as he scrambled nearly to the top of that big tree. Peter Rabbit stared in horror. Surely Buster Bear would catch Bobby now. "Leave me alone! I've never done you any harm, so leave me alone!" whimpered Bobby Coon as he climbed the tall tree with Buster Bear scrambling up after him and growling all the way. For a minute or two, Bobby wished he had stayed on the ground. You see, he had forgotten that Buster Bear could climb quite as well as he could. Now he was in the tree, and Buster was below him, and it looked very much as if Bobby had trapped himself. Suddenly, he remembered that Buster couldn't go out on little branches as he could, because Buster was too big and heavy. Bobby looked about him, and fear made his eyes quick to see. One branch reached over almost to the top of a slender young tree growing near. If he could get over into that tree, perhaps he could get back to the ground and run for his life. Anyway, it was worth trying. Out along the branch went Bobby as far as he could, and then, with his heart in his mouth, he jumped for the slender young tree. It was a good jump, and he caught hold of a branch of the young tree. Then he turned to see what Buster was about. Now there is nothing slow about Buster Bear's wits. The moment he saw Bobby run out on that branch, he knew just what was in Bobby's mind. "Huh," grunted Buster to himself. "If he thinks he can catch me napping with such an old trick as that, he'll have to think again." He waited only long enough to make sure that Bobby would jump for the other tree, and then Buster Bear went down faster than he had come up. You see, he just dropped for the last half of the distance, so by the time Bobby Coon was halfway down the slender tree, Buster Bear was at the foot of it, waiting for him. Poor Bobby. At first, he thought he was no better off than before. There was no other tree he could reach from this one. Now all Buster would have to do would be to climb up and get him. Bobby was about ready to give up in despair. But Buster Bear didn't climb up. He didn't even try. He just stood there at the foot of the tree and growled. Every growl made a shiver of fright run all over Bobby. Why didn't Buster hurry up and get him? All in a flash, it came to Bobby why Buster didn't. He didn't because he couldn't. That was the reason. He couldn't climb that tree because it was too small for him to climb. He is such a big fellow that he has to have a good-sized tree to get his arms around. Once more, Bobby began to hope. But Buster Bear isn't one to give up easily. No, sir, Buster doesn't give up until he has tried all the things he can think of. Now, he stood up and took hold of that tree, almost as if he were going to try to climb it. At first, Bobby thought he was, but in a minute, he found out his mistake. Buster began to shake that tree. My, 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 how he did shake it. He was trying to shake Bobby Coon down. The very first shake caught Bobby by surprise, and he very nearly lost his hold. Then he saw what Buster was up to, and he held on for dear life. He held on with arms and legs and teeth. Back and forth swung that tree, and Bobby with it. It was worse, very much worse, than the hardest wind Bobby ever had been out in. But he grimly held on with claws and teeth, and over he said to himself, "I won't let go, I won't let go, I won't let go." And he didn't. Real heroes are those who do brave deeds, knowing all the time just what they are about, what risks they are taking, what will happen if they fail, and yet do the brave deeds just the same. The other kind of heroes are not real true heroes at all, but are treated as if they were, and are made just as much of as if they were. They are the ones who do what seem to be brave deeds, but in truth, haven't been planned at all, and have been done unintentionally. People who, in trying to save their own lives, happen to save the lives of others, always are called heroes, and are much looked up to and made of, when in truth, they are not heroes at all. Peter Rabbit is this kind of a hero. He saved Bobby Coon's life. At least, Bobby Coon is kind enough to say he did. Anyway, he made it possible for Bobby to escape from angry Buster Bear. So Peter is called a hero and has been made much of. Everybody says that he was very, very brave, but right down in his own heart, Peter knows that he doesn't deserve any of the nice things said about him. True, he did save Bobby Coon, but he didn't do it purposely. No, sir. Perhaps he might have if he had thought of it, but he didn't think of it. What he did wasn't the result of thinking and planning at all, but of not thinking. Of carelessness and heedlessness, if you please. But it made a hero of Peter in the eyes of his friends and neighbors just the same. You see, it was this way. When Buster Bear began to shake that slender young tree, trying to shake Bobby Coon out of it, Peter forgot everything but his desire to see what would happen. From where he crouched, behind that big tree, he couldn't clearly see Bobby Coon in the top of the slender young tree. So, quite forgetting that he might be in danger himself, Peter hopped out from behind that big tree to try to find a place where he could see better. In his curiosity and excitement, he heedlessly forgot to watch his steps and trod on a dry stick. It broke with a little snap. Now, no one in all the Green Forest has keener ears than Buster Bear. In spite of the fact that his attention was all on Bobby Coon, he heard that little snap and whirled like a flash to see what had made it. There sat round-eyed Peter Rabbit, staring with all his might. Without pausing an instant, Buster sprang for Peter. He would make very good eating, as Buster well knew, and a rabbit on the ground was better than a coon he couldn't shake out of a tree. Peter dodged just in time, and with a squeal of fear, away he went, lipperty-lipperty-lip, twisting, dodging, running with all his might, and after him crashed Buster Bear. How Peter did wish that he hadn't been so curious, but had gone home to the dear old briar patch when he should have. He was too frightened to know when Buster Bear gave up the chase, but kept right on running. As a matter of fact, Buster didn't chase him far. He knew that Peter was too nimble for him to catch in a tail-end race. So presently, he gave it up and hurried back. Bobby Coon was nowhere in sight. He had taken the chance to climb down from that tree and run away. By leading Buster off for just those few minutes, Peter had saved Bobby Coon, and though he hadn't done it purposely, he got the credit just the same. He became a hero. This is a funny old world, isn't it? The very instant Buster Bear started after Peter Rabbit, down from that tree scrambled Bobby Coon. Never in all his life had he scrambled down a tree faster. He knew that Buster would not follow Peter far, and so he, Bobby, had no time to lose. He would get just as far from that place as he could before Buster should return. So while Peter Rabbit was running, lipperty-lipperty-lip, in one direction as fast as ever he could, Bobby Coon was running in the opposite direction, and his black feet were moving astonishingly fast. He didn't know where he was going, but he was on his way somewhere, anywhere, to get out of the neighborhood of Buster Bear. So Bobby took little heed of where he was going, but ran until he was too tired to run any more. His heart was beating thumpity-thump-thump, thumpity-thump-thump, and he was breathing so hard that every breath was a gasp and hurt. He just had to stop. He couldn't run another step. After a while, Bobby's heart stopped going thumpity-thumpity-thump, and he once more breathed easily. He knew that he had escaped. He was safe. He sighed, and that sigh was a happy little sigh. Then he grinned. He was thinking of how hard he had tried to get a chance to sleep that day, and how every time he thought he had found a bed, he had been turned out of it almost as soon as he had closed his eyes. Bobby has a sense of fun, and now he saw the funny side of all his experiences. There's one thing sure, and that is being without a home is a more serious matter than I thought it was, said he. I thought it would be easy enough to find a place to sleep when I wanted to, but I've begun to think that it is about the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. Here I am in a strange part of the green forest and homeless. There's no use in going back where I used to live, so I may as well look around here and see what I can find. Perhaps there is an empty nest somewhere near. Most anything will do for a while. So Bobby began to look about for an empty house. Now, of course, he had in mind a hollow tree or log. He always had lived in a hollow tree, and so he preferred one now. But he soon found that hollow trees are few and far between in that part of the green forest, and those he did find didn't have hollows big enough for him. The same thing was true of hollow logs. He was getting discouraged when he came to a ledge of rock, which was the foundation of a little hill deep in the green forest. In this ledge of rock, Bobby discovered a crack big enough for him to squeeze into. Just out of curiosity, he did squeeze into it, and then he discovered that after a little, it grew wider and formed the snuggest little cave he had ever seen. It was very dry and comfortable in there. All in a flash, it came to Bobby that the only thing needed to make this the snuggest kind of a house was a bed of dry leaves, and these were easy to get. Bobby's eyes danced. "I found my new home," he declared out loud. "It can't be cut down as my old home was. Buster Bear can't tear it open with his great claws. No one bigger than I can get into it. It's the safest and best house in all the green forest, and I'm going to stay right here." Right then and there, Bobby Coon curled up for that sleep he had so much needed. In his new home, in the little cave in the ledge of rocks deep in the green forest, Bobby Coon at last slept peacefully. There was no one to disturb him, and so he made up for all the time he had lost. He slept all the rest of that day, and when he awoke, jolly, round, red Mr. Sun had gone to bed behind the purple hills, and Mistress Moon had taken his place in the sky. At first, Bobby couldn't think where he was. He rubbed his eyes and stared hard at the stone walls of his bedroom and wondered where he was and how he came to be there. Then, little by little, he remembered all that had happened, how he had made a mistake in thinking he could take Unc' Billy Possum's home away from him, how he had heedlessly crept into Prickly Porky's house for a nap, only to be driven out by Prickly Porky himself, how he had found a splendid hollow stump, but he had been discovered there by Blacky the Crow, and afterward by Buster Bear. How Buster Bear had chased him and given him a terrible shaking in the top of a slender young tree. How Buster had stopped to chase Peter Rabbit. How he, Bobby, had taken this chance to run until he could run no more and found himself in a strange part of the green forest. How he had looked in vain for a hollow tree and wished to make a new home. And lastly, how he had found this little cave in the ledge of the rock. Little by little, all this came back to Bobby as he lay stretching and yawning. At last, he scrambled to his feet and began to examine his new house more carefully than he had when he first entered. The more he studied it, the better he liked it. Having no one else to talk to, he talked to himself. "The first and most important thing to look for in a house is safety," said he. "I used to think a good, stout, hollow tree was the safest place in the world, but I was mistaken. Men can cut hollow trees down. That is what happened to my old house. But it can't happen here. No, sir, it can't possibly happen here. Neither can Buster Bear tear it open with his great claws, and the entrance is so narrow that no one of whom I need be afraid can possibly get in here. This is the safest place I've ever seen. The next important thing is dryness. A damp house is bad, very bad. It is uncomfortable, and it is bad for the health. This place is perfectly dry. It will be warm in winter and cool in summer. I can't imagine a more comfortable house. The only thing lacking is a good bed, and that I'll soon make. On the whole, I guess the finding of this new house is worth all I went through. Now I think I'll go out and get acquainted with the neighborhood and see if I have got any near neighbors." So Bobby went out through the narrow entrance and began to look about to see what he could discover. "I think," said he, "that I'll follow this ledge and see if there are any more caves like mine. I might find a better one, though I doubt it." He shuffled along, light of heart and brimming over with the excitement and curiosity. You know, it always is great fun to explore a strange place. He had gone but a little way when he came to a sort of big open cave in the rock. Bobby stopped and peered in. Almost the first thing he saw was a bed. It was a big bed, and it was made of dry leaves and little branches of hemlock. It was a very good bed, and it was clear that someone had been sleeping in it very recently. Bobby's eyes grew very round. Then he sniffed. That one sniff was enough. Bobby turned and ran back to his new house as fast as his legs would take him. All the pleasure he had taken in his new home was gone. He had discovered that his nearest neighbor was none other than Buster Bear himself. Bobby Coon was back in his new house in the little cave in the rocky ledge deep in the Green Forest, and never was he or any member of his family more upset. You see, he had started out in high spirits to see what was to be seen about his new home and to find out who his neighbors might be, and he hadn't much more than started when he discovered that his nearest neighbor was none other than Buster Bear. Wasn't that enough to upset anybody? Anyway, it was enough to upset Bobby Coon, for only a few hours before, Buster Bear had tried to catch him and had threatened to eat him. So all desire to spend the night looking about left Bobby the very instant he had found Buster Bear's home in that very same rocky ledge in which his new home was. "What a dreadful fix! What a dreadful, dreadful fix I'm in," whined Bobby. "Here I've found the best home I've ever had, and now I find that Buster Bear lives almost next door. I don't dare stay here. I haven't any place to go. Oh dear, oh dear, what can a poor little fellow like me do? I wish I were as big as Buster Bear. I do. Then I'd fight him, I would. I'd fight him." "Who would you fight?" demanded a great, deep, grumbly, rumbly voice from outside his doorway. Bobby just dropped right down where he was and shook with fright. But he took great care not to make a sound, not the teeniest, weeniest sound. Perhaps Buster Bear didn't know who it was he had overheard. Perhaps if he kept perfectly still, Buster would think he had been mistaken. "Who are you in there, anyway?" demanded the deep, grumbly, rumbly voice. "I didn't know anyone else was living here. Why don't you come out and be sociable?" Bobby simply shivered and kept his tongue still. For a minute or two, there was no sound from outside. There were three long sniffs. Sniff, sniff, sniff. They made Bobby shiver more than ever. "Ho, ho! So it's you, Bobby Coon. It's my little cousin, Bobby," exclaimed the deep, grumbly, rumbly voice of Buster Bear, followed by a chuckle. "Welcome to the old rock ledge, Bobby. Welcome to the old rock ledge. If I am to have such a near neighbor, I'm glad it is to be you. Come out and shake hands. Don't be so bashful. I won't hurt you." At that, Bobby pricked up his ears a little. He knew that Buster's nose had told him all he wanted to know, and that there was no use to pretend any longer. "Do you really mean that, Cousin Buster?" he asked in a faint voice. "Certainly I mean it. Of course, why not? I usually mean what I say," grumbled Buster Bear. "That's just the trouble," replied Bobby timidly. "Just a little while ago, you tried to catch me and said that you would eat me, and I thought you meant it." Buster Bear began to chuckle and then to laugh, and his laugh was deep and grumbly rumbly like his voice. "That's so, Bobby, that's so," said he. "But that was when my stomach was so empty that it made me lose my temper. Now my stomach is full, and I'm really myself. You know, you don't need to be afraid of me when I am myself. Just forget that little affair. I should have, if you hadn't reminded me of it. I'm glad you've decided to be neighborly. You couldn't make your home in a safer place. I'm going to nap now. Come over and see me when you feel like it. Be neighborly, Cousin Bobby. Be neighborly. With this, Buster Bear went shuffling along to his own house and bed. As for Bobby Coon, he was soon in the best of spirits again. He decided to remain right there, and he is there this very minute, I suspect, unless he is out getting into mischief or seeking new adventures.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information, to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.